The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is Tuesday, the 5th of May, 3 minutes past nine. How are you keeping? How deep into May are we? When I left, it was just the 1st of May and here we are halfway through it, or it feels like we're halfway through it. How was your public holiday weekend? I hope you had a goodie. Maybe you were working and today's your first day off in a few days. Hopefully you'll stick around and relax and recharge your batteries with us. We're here with you, of course, until 11 a.m. We've an awful lot to jam in to those 2 hours. Community Guard information is always on a Tuesday, coming up for you just after 10 o'clock. And there's loads of other local and national issues for us to get through. But there's always space for your comments and maybe issues that you wish to raise, information you wish to pass on. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000. We love your calls too on 074 91 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. Don't forget, watch the show if you wish on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. Across all your devices, including your smart TV, and we're across Facebook as well. The newspapers for this Tuesday morning, the Irish Daily Mail, college fees cut in danger. And this is going to be troublesome for maybe parents and guardians out there with children heading off to college or in fourth or fifth or sixth class, as you wonder how you're going to keep all the balls in the air in terms of living life and surviving, but also doing the best we can for our children. Which often can be, you know, them pursuing their career path. Well, cuts to college fees may be scrapped over the decision to levy ministers for overspending at the Department of Education. Minister for Higher Education, James Lawless, has said levies to cover the cost of bailouts may necessitate limitations on new measures in Budget 2027. The news is expected to be met with a strong reaction in Cabinet and from the Dáil opposition, who've accused the government of breaching election promises to cut student fees. It follows the Cabinet row that emerged last month when ministers were told they'd have to cover the cost of bailouts in the Education Department, which total $4 billion in the past 3 years. For the first time, Mr. Lawless raised serious concerns at the meeting over the measures proposed by his Fianna Fáil colleague Jack Chambers, the Public Expenditure Minister, which has been blamed on incompetence in response to a parliamentary question on future fee reductions. There you go. So hopefully they come up with some sort of a solution. On to the Irish Times this morning. What story did I pick out in the Irish Times? Yeah, indeed, just an event at the weekend. Hundreds attend an anti-abortion rally. I saw others put the figure closer to thousands. Politicians on the left are attempting to remove the safeguards in current abortion legislation, as anti-abortion rally in Dublin yesterday was told. Hundreds of people attended the March for Life rally, which took place from St. Stephen's Green to outside Leinster House. Independent Ireland TD Ken O'Flynn told the crowd there were efforts from the left to remove the safeguards to expand access in relation to abortion in the Republic, noting that more than 10,000 abortions were carried out in 2024. O'Flynn said people need to change the course that we're on. O'Flynn, a TD for Cork North Central, said, "I am a man, and because I am a man, I will never fully understand what it is like to face a crisis pregnancy. I will never feel that fear. I will never feel the pressure, the isolation." The only TD to speak at the event, he asked why so many women were choosing to have abortions. Why is that? 086 60 25000. What is the reason? I mean, obviously, at the time of the referendum, we were told it would be rare and for specific reasons. And a lot of the conversation at that time, of course, and I'm not trying to rake up the old conversation because, you know, people had their say. But that being said, now, whilst people had their say, it's in the hands of legislators now to fiddle with that and to broaden it out if they wish, or even to reduce access, but that's not what they're doing. But, you know, obviously people were told it was very emotive arguments as to why people might choose to do that. And it would seem, obviously, abortion is used far greater than maybe many people had anticipated. And I don't know, people are still opposed to it, but it is the law now. There's just not a ton of stuff in the newspapers today, I have to say, unless I'm raking over old ground. The Irish Independent, and I just thought maybe some of you might be interested in this, and some of you might think it's absolutely crazy. A new Christian-focused phone network that blocks pornography and LGBTQ plus content launches this week and is believed to be the first of its kind. Launching today, Radiant Mobile Service will use Israeli cybersecurity firm Allot to organise website domains into more than 100 categories and will block all pornographic material at network level so users cannot undo the restrictions. So in other words, if you sign up to it, there's no way around it. Radiant is also said to offer the option of blocking material related to gender and trans issues. We're going to create, and we think we have every right to do so, an environment that is Jesus-centric, that is void of pornography, void of LGBT, void of trans. Radiant Mobile founder Paul Fisher, previously an agent for supermodels, including Naomi Campbell, told MIJ Technology Review, Radiant is even able to block certain sections of websites dedicated to LGBTQ plus issues, according to Mr. Fisher, who also once hosted a TV show in which he tried to get people to rehab centres and homeless shelters into modelling. Would anyone sign up into that? I think grouping an entire group of people like LGBTQ plus, I mean, you might have some issues with elements of that, but if you were to do it all, it seems very archaic, does it? I don't know. Maybe you think it's the best thing ever. I'm not sure it's available in this country. I just thought it something of interest. And I think we're going to see more of that into the future, whether you like it or not. So if you think it's a great idea, you will see those options into the future. Because there's a distrust in mobile firms, the government, to perhaps maybe take action that you might want them to. So there's going to be industry that's going to step in and do that for you. The Irish Daily Sun this morning. Ireland should examine nuclear power as a way to reduce dependence on fossil fuels, Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said. He added that Ireland must also speed up the development of offshore wind farms. We've been talking about this for a long time. Must speed up offshore wind farms to increase the state's supply of renewable energy. The energy crisis following the Iran war and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz has exposed Ireland's resilience on oil and gas. But the question is, you know, it's fantastic sort of saying we should do nuclear, but where do you do it? You know, I mean, we might be happy to avail of the power if it's off the southwest coast, because it'd be as close to us there as it might be in Britain. But if they decided that Donegal's a good spot, let's stick it in the middle of that county, plenty of cold water and lower temperatures, I don't think we would like that either, would we? And a man who is considered the prime suspect in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann could be brought to the UK for trial. The London Metropolitan Police are pushing for Christian Bruckner, 48, to come to Britain to stand trial for her abduction and murder. Cops are now looking to extradite the German suspect ahead of the 20th anniversary of Madeleine going missing. The three-year-old disappeared from a holiday apartment in the Algarve on May 3rd, 2007, sparking a huge police search. One of the Met's most senior officers is leading attempts to charge Bruckner prior to the landmark anniversary of Madeleine's vanishing. And that family were, as you would probably well know, visitors to Donegal not long before her disappearance and apparent tragic death. Well, the British police force believes it can gather a strong enough case for prosecutors to approve charges it claimed. Bruckner was named as an official suspect in Madeleine's disappearance in 2022, 16 years after the toddler went missing. And I hope they're not, you know, chasing their tails there, because there's one thing sort of being able to feel that you could make a very strong argument. There's another thing being able to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt. We are going to Fintown now, and I know there's many people in that area are incredibly frustrated at the lack of any or very little progress in terms of trying to make it a safer place to live. And this, of course, is because of the danger of the road running through it. Carly joins me on the programme now. Hiya, Carly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay, so for those who may not be aware, describe the layout of Fintown and the concerns you have over road safety.
Well, the road in Fintown is a main road, as we all know. People go straight through to commute to work and whatnot. There's a lot of children in our area as well. But, yeah, we have... There's a good few issues there with the speed on the road. And I think it's a concern for a lot of people and the layout of the road also.
And is the problem, the layout of the road, is that it's like dead straight? It's a raceway, effectively?
Basically, yeah, that's what people certainly use it as. But again, yeah, it's, I think it has been like that for many years. And the road being changed and having the layout changed, well, apparently changed, hasn't really helped it.
All right. So what are the main dangers as far as you see? Is it the fact that it is a commuting road and there's just lots of traffic use that road and there's not enough done to keep the locals safe?
No, there's definitely not enough done. I think a lot of people have already said or have had their opinions on what should have been done when the road was redone. It's definitely kind of waiting for something to happen, for sure.
All right, Carly, so just for those who may not be aware again, what work was done on that road as best you can describe?
The whole surface of the road was redone. The lines were redone. I know they changed a few junctions. There's one in particular that heads up to Dunlow that a lot of people have an issue with. And there's like broken white lines straight after the signs for what speed should be done on the road. So that would be one of the main issues. And also, I think having speed bumps would be a great thing and a cheaper option, even if that was the issue. That would maybe even a static speed camera instead of putting a speed van on the road every couple of weeks.
There is a speed limit reduction there of 60. That's obviously not being adhered to then. That's the sense, right?
No, as soon as they see the 60, most people speed up.
Okay. Stay where you are, of course. Councillor Brian Carr. You recognise, do you, Brian, as one of the local representatives in the area, that there's a serious problem here?
There is. Good morning, Greg. Good morning to all your listeners. And, yeah, just as Carly has outlined there, it's exactly what you said. Just with the new realignment in Fintown, it has become a racetrack. Previously, the road, you know, it was a wide road, but you just didn't have the vision lines that you could just overtake. And that's the reason that when the message came in to me last Friday, a private message from Stephen, and he said he's seen two cars overtake four cars. So, and three children getting on the bus in Fintown at the time, because it is, as we know, Meehan's bus stops there, there's school pickups, there's a school there, there's, you know, there's a church, there's the coffee cart, there's so many people slows down going into the village and Pong. But as soon as they start to slow down, there's other cars just whizzing by them and everything, and there's residents there, there's a housing estate. It's just, it's got very dangerous, and you know, like previously, unfortunately, there was an accident back there a good number of years ago, and there was a young girl killed getting off the bus. Then after that, the guards were can I say, camped in Fintown. But every time, even I went to Letterkenny, I was going through Fintown, you slowed down. Greg, you knew it was like Grange. You just knew it was one of those towns that you were coming into, and you had to slow down. But at the moment now, there's no reduction in speed. As Carly said, the speed limit, as soon as you pass the speed limit, that was the first question that Stephen asked me, was why is there broken lines? And I couldn't answer him. I just said to him I would take it to the MD meeting, which is on later on today. I'm heading right after this. And I would try and get an answer of why there is a broken line in Fintown. It's a 60-kilometre speed limit. Being reviewed, like all the speed limit reviews, that's another question for today. Where did that go to? That was supposed to happen early, late 25 into early 26. But something has to be done for the likes of that. Let's make a warrant as well. new road, redone, and speed is just, they fly through there as well.
What's the plan, though? Because, I mean, I know Carly mentioned speed bumps. There's no precedent for speed bumps on this type of road. It's a main route. And where would they stop and where would they end, I suppose? Because it's a long old stretch, right? And you could find people accelerating between speed bumps and what have you. There has to, I suspect, and maybe you know better, sitting in the council meetings, there has to be an alternative to... They're not going to okay speed bumps, are they?
Well, the flashing lights, like anybody that's going through the lights of Liscrilly, you see a flashing light and it says slow down and it gives you your speed in kilometres. Those do make you slow down. And if we had those in the likes of those villages, like I'm sure, you know, the people in villages all over the county now saying, oh, we have the same problem, we have the same speed, you know, we have the same issues. And so they have. But it's just these, I'm talking about Fintown and Letcher, since them two villages were redone, this has become worse. It's the new road, it's like, as you said earlier, it's like a racetrack. A speed bump or a raised table, I live in Glenties Town. The speed van used to sit in Glenties Town and cars coming in a number of years ago, they were coming in the Letterkenny Road, they were got every time. There's a raised table put in now with a pedestrian crossing in front of the school. And I spoke to the man in the speed van last year. I just tapped on the window and I just said hello. And he would have 4 days spent sitting on the main street in Glenties, which I think is a bit ridiculous anyway. But he had only one person caught in 4 days because of that one raised table, as they call it, like a ramp. And that one thing stopped it and he only got one. As previous years, he was catching dozens a day. So the same thing maybe in Fintown, either in front of the school or up near the top of the town, a raised table at each end would slow everything down. Now, it would be different on the N56. I don't think we'll be able to do it on the N56, a national route. But Fintown regional road, something like that should be done. The flashing lights and the raised tables or the ramps. Fintown used to have a sign, slow through village. That sign's gone. So those issues, as Carly said, when the job was being done, a few years ago, those issues were raised with the council two and a half years ago, but they weren't looked at, they weren't done. The locals, like, you can't beat local knowledge. The locals knew what the issues were, and one of them was speed and the overtaking. And you know, there was no better man. I've seen your comment, Chad, there on your man's coffee wagon. He's sitting in the middle of it every day, and he sees the issues, same as Carly, they're living in Fintown. The issues are seen by the locals. They were passed on at the time, but there was nothing done.
Yeah, and at the very least, Carly, you know, to try and influence motorist behaviour. I mean, I know you went to the ramps and Councillor Carr's talking about tables, but, you know, static flashing signs saying slow down, or indeed, you know, maybe a garda blitz, you know, whereby the word gets around that if you speed through this area, you possibly might get done for speeding or dangerous driving for that matter. You know, I think it's a case that if something was done, and let's see how that works, because there's already been tragedy in this area, and this is all about preventing that. It's not about noise pollution or annoyance. This is literally about life and death and serious injury.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And me, myself, I have three young children myself. That was one of the things I put on the post on Facebook. It's something I worry about every day. I like to walk my children to school sometimes. So it's a big concern for everybody. I'm sure just not myself. But I agree with what Brian said about possibly having maybe one at the school and one at the end and then the flashing lights too. Mm. I think they would help, definitely.
We also can appeal to people who are listening, who travel through that area and perhaps don't realise, you know, that they are travelling through a residential area with a reduced speed limit, to maybe alter their behaviour as well. I mean, I might be wasting my breath there, but we could only hope that maybe it lands with the right people. But Brian, there seems to be go ahead, Brian.
We need a joined up thinking there, Greg. Sorry, you know, it does happen at times that the council comes together and the guards and the HSA. And like I sit on the the roads SPC. And at the last meeting, even, you know, there was somebody there, George Mills, brought up about Culdaff. I was bringing up about Funtown. There was different, everybody in their own area has problems throughout the whole county. Yeah. So we need to sit, get the yards, get the as I said, the HSA, the council. But the council needs to maybe provide more funding for safety measures. The guards need to do more, as you said, reinforcement, you know, convictions, be out there patrolling. I spoke to two guards at the weekend and they just told me that when they get all their other jobs done, I asked them, do you be out patrolling? Do you do speed checks? Or do you? And they just said they don't have the numbers in these areas to do these stops. They just do not have it. And as you said yourself, the buy-in from the public, we need... There's a speed van now that stops opposite an old pub called Norton's, and they sit there. But by the time you get to them, there's five cars after flashing you to slow down. You know, people need to stop
doing that. But in a way, that does slow the traffic down, and I suppose it makes the van function.
But as soon as you pass the speed,
you put the foot down.
As soon as you pass the speed wagon in, Craig, you put the foot down again and away. So, as you said, we need the buy-in from the public as well.
Yeah, but what we need is we need a connection with the public. Because, you know, you mentioned a couple of other areas, and there are quite a number of them, but the number isn't exhaustive. You know, we don't listen to the public. We don't take on board their real-life lived experience. We don't take on board their warnings about what will happen and actually ends up happening. And also to reasonable measures that could be taken to address the problems or try and address the problems. And then every time I talk about an issue like this, Brian, it's the council, it's the TII, it's the guards, it's the this, it's the council, it's all... And you know, the conversations feel like we're breaking wind into a hurricane. Nothing... Like, it's important we have these chats. But that gentleman you mentioned earlier on with the coffee van, I mean, you know, people just give it up in the end or give in. They say, what's the point? No one's listening to me. So I hope these conversations don't always end up just being, you know, talking shops. What can be done to try and get the right people around the table, a bit of accountability and a bit of action?
Yeah, well, I think you're 100% correct in what you're saying there. And you do see every so often at a bank holiday weekend and there's warnings out, but it's maybe just a photograph with wagons and car. You know, we need action.
Yeah, well, they're like, no one near Fintown either. They're on the Ballyshannon bypass. They're on the dual carriageway at Letterkenny. They're on the Drumkeen. You know, I mean, are they in? Is there any enforcement in your likes of your Fintowns? Do you know what I mean? When we have these big crackdowns.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore. Like, you know, the speed wagon, as I said, parked in Glenties, shouldn't be parked in Glenties. He told me he was within so many kilometres of where a tragic accident happened. But exactly where that accident happened, outside the town, if he sat there, he would be far, you know, it would be far better for the people on the roads because he would slow them down, because that's an issue where that happened already.
Of course, but putting speed vans in Buncrana Main Street, Donegal Town Main Street, Glenties Main Street,
no sense.
Makes a laughing stock of the whole thing, really.
It does. They need to be in these, you know, high areas that people have. But as you said, like, complain, and people are complaining, they're falling on deaf ears. The resources are not being put in place for this to happen, for the guards to be out. Like a patrol car travelling through Funtown a few times a day, even if they only drove around, and like that's going to slow the traffic down and people will go, oh, I better watch here. It was in our mindset previously.
Sign that reads your number plate, run off a little solar power that flashes your speed telling you to slow down. I don't know why we don't employ them more. I just don't understand, because it will have some element of an effect. Okay, listen, Brian, thank you for your time. Carly, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, you and the others in the area are concerned parents. This conversation will end. I presume you can open your front door and you'll still see cars bombing past. You know, talk is cheap. Mm-hmm. It's action really what you want at this point, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, myself and I'm sure many parents feel the same way. Everything you said is definitely pretty accurate. And even where they put the speed vans as well, that was another thing Brian said, that they really do make it too obvious. So you're not going to catch anyone speeding. And that's some of the pet peeves of mine, is that people flash you when they're passing to tell you there's a speed van there.
I'm
not the only
too.
Person, that's for sure.
There's people too very active on social media and make, make quite a bit of money off telling other people where the speed vans are. And, you know, I know people don't like speed vans, but we're here talking about trying to save lives. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I think that's way more important. So.
Do parents need to get some posters together and go on the sides of the road or remind motorists of the tragedy that can happen? I don't know what needs to be done, but it feels, Carly, like we can't rely on the powers that be to just do this stuff for us. You know, there's something else needs to happen. Listen, thank you for your time. Best wishes to you and your family, Carly. I appreciate what you're doing in trying to make the place a little bit safer for others. Look after yourself, and thanks to Brian Carr as well. 086 60 25000. If you wish to talk about that, a caller says, I text and wrote to the council as the road project was ongoing, and I sent pictures since of various overtakings, etc. Not a word back. I see it constantly each day, 5 or 6 overtakings through Fintan, some dangerous, and nothing, not a word until it is too late. And do you know what will happen when it is too late? Everyone will be absolutely devastated and have all the, you know, the words ready to say what they have to say and all that kind of stuff. And traffic might even slow down for a bit. But then what happens? The passage of time, you have to move on, inverted commas, and people's behaviour reverts to what suits them best. And unfortunately, that's just the way things seem to go. Good morning, Greg, says a listener. Thanks for your post about the boil water notice in Carrigarton Downings on Friday night. Could you confirm if the water is okay now? I can't, because it's not. And there seemed to be some word going around over the weekend that everything is fine. This could take some time, because boil notices can take a while to be lifted. And obviously, you know, there's something dodgy went on in the processing of this water, because you can't even brush your teeth with it. So no, it's not safe to drink, and it must be boiled, even for making ice cubes or whatever you might do. So sorry, I have no good news for you there. As soon as we get an update, we'll bring it to you, though. There used to always be a speed trap in Fintan, and people were very aware of driving through the town with caution. Since that speed check went, speed has increased because there is no fear of being caught, says the listener. Speed campaigns stop after bank holiday weekends, and people know the chance of them being caught is reduced, and they just speed up again, says that listener. On the issue of driving more broadly, I had cousins home from America, and they hired a car in Dublin. He commented that he couldn't wait to put the car back again, as the roads were too fast and too bad here in Ireland. Donegal is prone to earthquakes, so would not be a suitable location for a small modular reactor. This is in relation to nuclear power, although it's put a note at the top that it's in relation to modular homes. But yeah, maybe. I don't think, though. I'm not sure that the seismic activity we had would preclude us from having a nuclear reactor. I think there's better excuses. Another here on Buncrana School. Jack Morey says he's deeply disappointed that the three-phase school campus in Buncrana is still being delayed. I don't even live in the area, but like everyone else, know that the road itself is going to be a disaster and everything must be 100% before it proceeds. It's the wrong site, that listener says, adding big time. In relation to some of the sport at the weekend, particularly the GEA, this caller says, hi, Greg, Down looked good because Donegal were terrible. And I think Donegal's team were wrecked. Yeah, I mean, Down looked good and Donegal didn't look great. But then to see how Down performed against Armagh, it would make you think. There's people know more about the sport than I. I'd be very interested in hearing what long-term supporters who know the team inside and out. Like, lots of people are saying to me that we kind of threw the game with Down, part of a plan. I didn't buy that to begin with, but those people who said that before are now saying, well, see, look how Down performed against Armagh. But it just doesn't seem like the type of thing you might do. I don't know. Right, now there is a public meeting, Derry and Strabane Defective Block Crisis. It's taking place today, in fact, at 1 p.m. in St. Columb's Hall, Derry. Everybody's welcome. It might be a little late notice for some, but you never know. But it's still important that we talk about why this meeting is taking place in the first place. Danny Rafferty, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, how are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing
okay. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's a very important topic. Right, you are a homeowner of a defective block home in Derry. What's your story, Danny?
Right. Well, I actually work in Letterkenny. So we built our house in Derry in 2006. I'm from Derry, but I got a chance of building a house up beside my mum. And so I built the house, and I used materials from both sides of the border because I was getting paid in euro and stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I got a timber frame from Letterkenny. I got my septic tank from Donegal. I got my blocks from Donegal, etc. You know what I mean? So, so the first issue we noticed was the paint, you know, starting to come off the walls, and like the 20-year paint that was supposed to last 20 years would be, the house would need repainting in 2 years, and you'd wonder why. And then you got the classic spider cracks, which people kept on telling me was settling cracks.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to worry. And then the brunt of the weather comes in my southwest wall, and so that started getting severe cracking and sort of like a green algae over it. And then we contacted a structural engineer in 2022. I got fed up with it all. And I contacted a structural engineer, but he never showed up for the appointment at the house. And I rang him, and he said, I thought it would save you some money. He said, because I drove past your house, and I could tell from the top of the road that you had defective blocks.
It was that obvious.
So it was that obvious. So I said, right. So then I got a core test then to confirm it was. And then we contacted the house insurance. They said our claim was invalid because we used defective materials to build it. How do you know they're defective? Right. I then reached out to members of the Donegal Make Action Group at the time, who helped me create a video which then went viral. And then we were contacted by the Derry Journal, BBC, UTV, Daily Mail, because we were the first house in Derry to actually prove that we had defective blocks, and my wife had kept all the receipts, etc. So we could tell that we could show that all the blocks came from the quarry in Donegal. I'm not going to name people, but we all know who it was. Right. Then I thought, right, this is going to kick off the whole lot. I'm going to just sit back now. I still contacted my local representatives and stuff like that with emails, etc., and kept in contact with everybody. I'm a member of the 100% Redress Party in Donegal. I've had loads of contact with Donegal members, etc. I still kept on the pressure on. And the issue was given to the Minister for the Department of Communities in Stormont, who claimed then it was a Westminster issue. Oh. And then I got the email then for Westminster, and I badgered them then by emails, and they turned around and said then it was a Stormont issue, and they give it back to the Department of Communities again. Then the Department of Communities have stated then that the issue was not systemic because they reckon there was only 10 properties that came forward in Derry, and there was no need for a scheme. They didn't say how they would help the individuals. We were just left. We were then told then that we needed a full core test to be able to apply for the Republic of Ireland scheme, so we got that done. And then we needed a core test to see if our foundations were affected because that wasn't in the original price. So we got that done. So all this testing probably cost around 7 or 8 grand, all in. Then we made a claim to the Republic of Ireland to be added to their scheme, but were refused and told to go to Stormont. And I pointed out to them that I qualify for an Irish pension because I work in the Republic of Ireland for 28 years. Mm-hmm. And that I am an Irish citizen under Article 2 of the Irish Constitution. They still turned around and said no. In fact, I would still be working in the Republic of Ireland if it wasn't for Brexit. I still work for the same company in Letterkenny.
Yeah, Danny, can I ask?
And I've worked there for 20 years.
So Danny, well, just in relation to the amount of people that you think are affected, I wonder, is the situation in Northern Ireland, particularly the closer you are to Donegal, in that a lot of people may know their house is affected, a lot of people suspect it's something else, and then maybe still at that point whereby no one wants to talk about it potentially because it completely devalues their homes. So in other words, the less you say, the better. That's the way it was here. I don't know. It's hard to timeline it now, but there was a period of time where people didn't even want to consider they had it because they knew their asset would be worthless and they couldn't sell it or whatever. So where do you think Derry Strabane is at in that time scale?
Right. I think we do have a serious problem up here. I can whenever I drive around, and other people have come to me as well and said that they have defective blocks. And when I drive around, I see houses with the telltale spider cracks and all the rest. The next thing you see is scaffolding up against them, cracks being filled in, houses painted, and then a for sale sign goes up. And them houses are being sold for 280 grand, which is a criminal when you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I want to, when we put our name forward, like, I'm never going to sell my house here. It's like why I call it a family home. It'll be my kids that'll have it or whatever, right? But so I wasn't worried about the value of my house or whatever like that, right? But if I come forward, my house is used as an example. They put a scheme in place, right? They say, right, if you come forward, here's a scheme. This is the pathway you go to get your house sorted, right? And it's up to the Stormont government, the Irish government, whoever they want to talk to or whatever. And they say, this is an issue we need to fix or whatever. But as long as they have a pathway that people can go towards, then that would alleviate the whole situation. Nobody would be afraid to come forward.
Yeah,
I know, and I've heard of the cases in Donegal where, somebody came from a housing estate and said, I've been tested positive for defective blocks. And their neighbours were saying, we didn't know you. It's not our house. It's only your house. And then they find out it's the whole estate, and the whole estate is hammered.
Yeah, the problem is, for you guys, Danny, is there's every out in the book, in terms of Stormont versus Westminster, products being bought outside of the jurisdiction in inverted commas, from the Republic's perspective, it being a different jurisdiction, responsibility. So what you're relying on, this is not my view or it's not official, but what you're relying on is actually someone to say, this is incredibly unfair and we have to look after these people. And I can't see London, Belfast or Dublin doing that. And then, in terms of what amount of noise you can make and to agitate the situation and trying to, that's going to be a challenge as well. I'm not being negative, don't get me wrong, Danny, and I'm not saying it's not worth fighting. It's just going to be a great challenge. Unfortunately, you only seem to get results if you have leverage, and I worry for the likes of yourself and others, Danny. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I absolutely do, but I want to bring it out there in the open as well.
100%, yeah.
If you think of a young couple going to buy a house, and they buy one of those houses that are fixed up so they can sell, and they have no idea that that house is defective, then they're 300 grand in debt with a millstone around their neck. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And I've we brought this issue up in 2022. It's now 2026. I thought we'd be all sorted. And I sat here quietly waiting and all the rest, hoping it would work. And we actually had to go ahead and tear down the outer skin of the house. As I said before, I had the timber frame. My foundations were sound, so I'm lucky, right?
Ironically, I know what you mean, yeah.
Well, we had to tear down the outer skin and get it rebuilt. It still cost me $100,000, don't get me wrong. And I still had to borrow the money. And my mortgage was due to finish in 4 years back then. In fact, it would have been finished now. But I have another 12 years to run now because of that, right? And it's absolutely criminal that, that one, I get caught like this, two, that everybody else can still get caught with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why? You just have to ask yourself why. A man came to me recently, right? A man came to me recently, and he broke my heart when I was talking to him, because he was saying, he says, I'm nearly 60 years of age. And he says, I'm hoping to work flat out now for the next 10 years and get enough money so I can live in the garage. Because the house is thick.
Yeah. There's another group of people.
So
there's another group of people as well, and those are people living in Derry, Strabane, and the rest of Northern Ireland, or even outside of the island for that matter, who would have properties in the Republic as well, be it holiday homes, investment properties, accidental inheritance, whatever it might be. They're another cohort of people that are in limbo.
Yeah, and I've opened this invitation as well to anybody who is from Derry, Strabane area or whatever, that have holiday/retirement homes in Donegal. They've saved all their money or borrowed money or whatever to buy a home in Donegal, in Malinhead, Bunbeg or whatever, and they bought a home and then it's defective. Now, they might have had plans to go down there weekends or even retire down there once they finish, because living down by the shoreline in Donegal is one of the most beautiful places you can go. Do you know, as I think, anyway.
Yeah. No, you're right, Danny. Listen, I must move on. That meeting's at 1 p.m. And, the more and more you talk about it, and it's not a new realisation, but the more and more you talk about it, the more and more you realise really how many people have been left behind, really, between people with commercial premises, holiday homes, council houses, really, at this point, still the likes of yourself. There's so many people affected by these crappy blocks that should never have been allowed to be made or sold. It's absolutely horrendous. Danny, that meeting's at 1. I'm sure you'll get a good turnout. Thank you very much for your time. Danny Rafferty there. A caller says, the gent's incorrect, you can't sell a mica house. Well, we're trying to avoid mica house because you can actually, mica is not necessarily the problem now, and you can have mica in your blocks and your house will never ever deteriorate. It is defects in the concrete. But to that point, he's talking about from Derry and Strabane, and listen, it still happens where houses are, whether you can or can't do something. Certainly in Donegal, it doesn't mean that if someone is quick to want to buy and you patch up your house, that they, you can, of course, sell. Not legally, but in the north, it's different. Okay, I haven't made that very clear, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Right, many comments, in fact, coming in on the Fintown situation. Hi, Greg. On speeding in Fintown, why do the council or road safety people put up static average speed cameras each side of the village? Set the town speed limits between both cameras, relying on physical Garda presence, is not going to happen. There's not enough of them to control this, that says an Ardra listener. And, you wouldn't even need to. It's a fantastic idea. I don't think you even need to necessarily enforce that. I think it could change people's driving behaviour if they had to acknowledge it with a sign. But the thing is I'm going to go through some fantastic ideas and suggestions from listeners, but unfortunately, we can't enforce this stuff. It's up to the authorities, and everyone seems to blame one another. There have been 5 fatalities from road traffic collisions in the heart of Fintan Village in my lifetime. It's no longer a retail hub, but can get very busy with school, play school, day centre, medical centre, parish hall, Lakeside Railway, walking groups, coffee outlet, and bus transport base. Electronic method is the way to go with speed cams, flashing digital signs of your actual speed, etc. Gardaí haven't got the resources to patrol regularly. I agree. I think we all agree that these flashing speed signs are critical. Right. A couple of comments here. Back to Fintan. The issue in the Fintan is same everywhere. Kilmacrenan's main street is the same. Despite a number of collisions, nothing seems to be getting done to slow down traffic. Another, I live in Ballybuffet and there is a school on the main road and efforts to slow down traffic is impossible. Another, there needs to be more serious impacts for those caught driving. Penalty points and fines are not strong enough. If each person caught for speeding lost their licence for 6 months, people would behave better. Another, the whole speed thing is a joke. It's all about collecting money, nothing to do with safety. And I think that's a reference to the locations of some of the speed vans, you know, in maybe built up urban areas where collisions can happen, as opposed to the black spots that we know. Remember, there used to be black spots. They don't put the black spots anymore. They got done away with that. Or do they still? I can't remember seeing an accident black spot sign in the longest of times. There was something on the news this morning about lowering a stop sign. This is stuff I don't, it doesn't make sense to me. So there's a stop sign apparently and it's too high. So when the sun's low, you can't see it. And they're talking about lowering. Put two in, put another one at the bottom. You know, like, why does a councillor have to go to a council meeting and raise the issue of a stop sign not being visible when the sun's low? You know, just go and stick another spot sign down. It has to go to a council, a motion. They have to talk about it. Someone else talks about it. Then they take a vote. Then the vote's passed. Then the motion is passed. Then it goes to the executive. And then the executive consider it. And the executive raise it with the roads people. And then the roads say, well, I'll have to check it with the TII. And then they check it with the TII. And the TII kick it back to roads locally. And then roads locally have to contact the executive. Put another stop sign so people can see it when the sun's low. You know, it's that simple. But it doesn't work like that. It's very frustrating. What else is frustrating? Well, I think people who think they're doing a good job, but they're not. Siobhan, hi.
Good morning.
This is a strange one. We've seen it before. There was a case there not so long ago in Letterkenny where people were bagging the poo and throwing it into a graveyard. And then the groundskeeper then was out with the strimmer, and you can imagine what happened next. So people were picking the litter up but dumping it somewhere else. What's the situation local to you, Siobhan?
Well, basically, I live in Port na Blas, so we're literally on the beach. And every year, this is the first year I've started taking photos, and I am going to obviously start tormenting Donegal County Council again. But every year when the tourists start flocking down and they're walking their dogs on the beach and you go down in the morning or in the afternoon, the beach is littered with poo bags.
Mm.
And it's unbelievable. We have a beautiful beach. 90% of the beaches around Donegal are just fantastic. You know, we're totally unspoiled. And you just have a select few. And again, I'm saying it's the tourists, because when it's not full of people and, you know, everybody coming down for their breaks or whatever, you don't have this issue. And they're literally bagging the dog poo and just leaving it. Now, is it a case of they leave it there with the intention of, on my way back, I'll pick it up? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they are just leaving it. And it is just so incredibly selfish and inconsiderate. And I just do not understand how people can go to the effort of buying bags, picking it up. Are they picking it up because they've been seen and they have to be seen doing the right thing? And then when someone's not watching, just leaving it? I genuinely just do not understand how people can be so utterly inconsiderate and selfish.
But they're so close. They're so close to getting it. Because these bags are presumed are designed to contain the smell and the substance, right? You've got the bag, you've brought it, you've got bent over, you've picked it up, you've tied a knot in it. So close. There's only one thing left to do, and that's take it home.
Take it home and put it in a bin. You know, it's not rocket science. It's not. You do sort of, the mind boggles. You kind of look at this and go, why would you actually come down to a beautiful area? You know, if you go to the effort of having dogs, we have dogs. They make a mess. They're like little children or babies or whatever. You clean up after them. You know, if you do it in your own environment, why would you not do it in an environment that you're actually making the effort to go down and visit because it's so beautiful and, you know, the fresh air, you can walk, it's relaxing. Why would you litter? Why would you do something like that? And I just, it just ceases to amaze me how selfish and inconsiderate some people can be.
Well, they're also adding litter as well.
They are.
That you're adding a plastic into a marine area.
It is. And, you know, even if you walk through the dunes, you'll be amazed. You know, we live on our road here. You know, we're not holiday makers. This isn't a holiday home. And you can actually see the marked difference when it's the local people who are generally up and down every day in winter and summer and all of that. You don't have this issue. And it's when the tourists come down from whatever part of Ireland they're coming from. And it suddenly just increases. Our property is fenced in again because we're in a sheep farming area. We have dogs. And you'll be amazed. We take the dogs down to the steps, put the leads on them. And even because we have the fence, you'd be amazed at how many people have actually dumped their poo bags in the morrow grass in front of our garden. Mm. And you're like, oh, come on, lads, really? And it's just contributing more rubbish into not only our dunes, but the sea. And there's just absolutely no need for it.
And Siobhan, you would not be talking about this if we were talking about you seeing one or two bags a month in the summer.
No.
The situation obviously is at a point whereby you're incredibly peed off and frustrated, and that's why you're speaking publicly. So it happens at scale then.
It does. And what happens and what I've noticed over the last 5 or 6 years is when one person does it, it's almost as if it's a license for everybody else to do it.
Okay.
And you actually see a multitude, and it's almost as if, you know, some couple or person has walked down and, oh, there's a couple of poo bags there. And, you know, in inverted commas, they're in biodegradable bags, so we'll just dump our bags here as well. And it is multiplying, and it's really not necessary.
Is there an argument then that we need to sort of meet these people halfway? I know we shouldn't have to potentially, but are there well-maintained bins that people can dispose of rather than putting it into the boot of the car or what have you? You know, that's not for everyone. And I suppose if you own a dog, it's like a child's nappy. You know, you will take your rubbish with you. But that's not how life works. Are there enough bins that are regularly cleaned out in that area when we know people are going to be there to meet these people halfway?
Well, to be honest with you, no, they aren't. Mm. And on the flip side of that, I can also sort of understand where that's coming from because, you know, people won't just use the dog bin, poo bins for dog poo. They will start throwing other rubbish in it.
Yeah.
If you go down for a walk to Ard's Friary, you know, there are numerous, and I mean numerous, dog refuse bins around Ard's Friary. And yet you can still walk around Ard's Friary and there will be poo bags on the side of the walks.
Yeah.
They don't even put them in the bins there. So, you know, we can sort of say, yeah, you know, the council should put up bins, it should be maintained, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is they're not doing it anyway.
Mm.
And it always seems to be with this whole, you know, influx of tourism into these areas. And we are rural areas and we are remote, and the scenes and stuff are absolutely stunning. So again, you kind of have to wonder at the mentality, if someone is prepared to travel halfway around the country to come up to beautiful locations like this, why would you actually mess and leave your dog's waste in areas that people can either see it or it will be damaging to the environment?
Yeah.
I can't get my head around the stupidity and the selfishness.
All right, listen, and it's a very interesting coming from a responsible dog owner living in a beautiful area, if you know what I mean. It's just a more nuanced angle, I think, because you can see all sides to it as well, Siobhan. Okay, we try all the time to appeal to people's judgment, but often it comes down to enforcement, doesn't it? That's what we always end up, that there needs to be some sort of enforcement. But how does one do that?
Well, I know up in like Chrysler, the county council have actually put up cameras around the bin areas and stuff, so that there's, it basically to stop illegal dumping. And you know, I've actually thought of getting signs put up and just hammering them into the dunes saying, you know, the poo fairies don't live here. Please take it home. And maybe, you know, the Donegal Council need to start looking at putting cameras up and naming and shaming. And, you know, it's shocking. It really is just shocking. And again, it's always when we're coming into the summer months and there's a larger influx of people.
No, I understand that, yeah. Okay. Siobhan, I must move on. Yeah. Thank you so much for your point, made very articulately. Thank you. Indeed. Is that a problem elsewhere? I'm sure it is. As I said in my chat with Siobhan there, people are so close to getting it. Just it's one little final hurdle.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 5th of May, 25 past 10. Community Garda information this week with Garda Grania Doherty. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so very much for calling in. Right, plenty to get through today. So we'll start with appeals. And the first focuses on a theft in Letterkenny.
Yes, Gardaí are investigating a theft incident that occurred in the Ballymacool area of Letterkenny. This occurred actually about 2 kilometres up the Kirkstown Road in Ballymacool between Saturday the 2nd of May at 8 p.m. and Sunday the 3rd of May at midday. So a Green Parkside robotic lawnmower was stolen from the garden of a property in that area. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area between those times to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91 967 100.
And you will be doing more of these into the future, or an appeal, because these robot lawnmowers are becoming more and more popular.
They're becoming so common.
And especially too when, you know, the likes of Lidl and Aldi sort of enter the race, and they're sat out in your garden, and not all of them have anti-theft devices. So I suppose if you have one, be conscious of the fact that, you know.
Yeah, it's just really a good deterrent for people too, to know that these, you know, these types of incidents are happening. We haven't seen the likes of this before, to be honest. Now, this seems to be the first of one of the robotic.
I think it's going to be a little bit like the scooters, if you know what I mean. It's sort of something that we're going to see much more of. So people need to be on the, just think about the security of those items as well, because they can be thousands of euro.
Just be aware of it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, another theft incident, this time in Church Hill.
Yes. So we're appealing for the assistance of the public in connection with this theft. It's a theft of a quad from the Lossett area of Church Hill in the early hours of Tuesday the 28th of April in around 5 a.m. A 2016 red Honda TRX 500 quad was stolen from a farm shed in that area. A man entered the shed and pushed the quad down the laneway towards the road, the R251. He was wearing a black and grey hooded top with grey or beige coloured bottoms and black trainers. He wore a baseball cap and had his face covered with a black scarf. So we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. that morning to please make that footage available to us. If anybody observed any suspicious activity, vehicles, you know, maybe vans or jeeps with or without trailers in that area, or people in that area that they didn't recognise that might have stood out to them, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 074 91 53060. And of course, if anybody comes across a similar type of quad for sale Alert Gardaí might be innocent. Please let us know so we can check that matter out.
Yeah, and this is not the first such instance. So I suppose any advice on quad security, and I suppose this applies to anything that can be sort of wheeled away or carried away. But as I say, when we're seeing a number of instances relating to quads, what do you suggest?
Yeah, I see there was a number of quad thefts have occurred in recent times in Roscommon and various counties across the country. And in Donegal, actually, there was a couple of quads stolen very recently also in the Brooklis area. So just some security measures. You can take these measures to prevent the theft off your quad. Keep your quad out of sight from nearby roads. Thieves often survey properties looking for vehicles such as quads. Keep the gates to your yards closed. Open gates can be an open invitation to thieves. Lock your sheds or garage doors at night using a heavy-duty padlock, haspen staple or chain. When you're leaving your quad overnight, a bespoke quad... I actually looked this up yesterday. I'd never heard of this before. Mm. These are actually quite impressive. A bespoke quad drive-on security device. This clamps around the wheel. It's secured to a concrete floor and it's a great solution. Use locks and ground anchors with high attack rating as another option. The use of a tracking system can notify the owner if the quad has been interfered with or moved. This allows for a prompt response to either to prevent the theft or to detain an offender. Fit outside security lights controlled by an automatic time switch or infrared beams. These react to heat or movement. These can help. If your outbuildings or sheds are remote and they have no mains power, you could consider using a battery-operated GSM mobile alert system and camera that can also alert you then to any suspicious activity around your farm. Marking, property marking. So marking vehicles is a very effective visible deterrent to thieves and it's an established method of reducing thefts. This is a big one and this is the main one we want to re-emphasise in relation to, we're always saying this in relation to, you know, other types of vehicles also. Never ever leave your keys in the ignition, and I think this does happen a lot. You know, if you're only leaving your quad bike unattended for a very brief time, take the keys out, stick them in your pocket. Don't be tempted to leave them in the ignition for, you know, even if it's only a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And insurance is highly recommended also for theft and damage.
You know, and some of the, there's a scale to some of those suggestions from, you know, really quite expensive to there completely inexpensive. And, yeah. You know, I don't have an iPhone, and I think iPhone users have been using these tags for God knows how long, but I wasn't aware that they were available for Android, and I keep losing my wallet and my keys, you know, the sort of my cognitive decline with age. But I ordered four of these tags. They're only the size of euro coins, and you could stick one in a location on your quad, wherever, and the battery lasts for 2 or 3 years, and it literally will tell you where it is.
Exactly, and they're very inexpensive.
They're inexpensive, and they just the technology behind them is that they just ping off people's Bluetooth, so it doesn't require Wi-Fi or satellite or anything. You can hide them anywhere on your vehicle. So that's just one thing. But also, as I was listening to you describe, you think, oh, that's very extreme. I couldn't be bothered doing that. And yet I would say it's the first thing people do once the quad has been stolen, or one of the first things is improve security.
It's the same, I suppose, as any if a burglary happens at your home
and it has never happened before,
when the alarm's purchased then. That's when the security lights are put up. So please don't wait until something does occur. Yeah. You know, get it done now. And, you know, when we mention these types of incidents, it's also it's good to let people know too that these are happening, and these types of thefts are on the up countrywide. So please, farmers, any farmers listening today, please do take those measures today. Take one of the measures or two of the measures and make sure that your quad is secure at all times. Just the keys and ignition, such a simple one.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Now let's go to an assault at Rathmullen Pier, which is being investigated.
Yes, this alleged assault happened at Rathmullen Pier on Friday the 1st of May in around 8:50pm. So a male teenager was out fishing at that location and he was approached by two younger males, and one of them asked could they use his fishing rod and he declined. The second male then proceeded to assault him a number of times, and thankfully he didn't require any medical treatment following this incident. But we're appealing to anybody who might have been around the pier area with a dash cam between 8:30 and 9:30 that night. Please make that footage available to us. Of course, if anybody witnessed the incident, we're also asking them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 91 53060.
Right, now, Pound Street car in Donna, a criminal damage incident being investigated?
Yes, so this incident occurred at the rear of a business premises at Pound Street car in Donna on Thursday the 30th of April at about 3 a.m. A man aged approximately in his 60s with long grey hair, he entered the rear of this property and he set fire to a garden table within a patio area there. The table was damaged as a result of the fire and a flower pot was destroyed. So thankfully no major damage, but this fire was still smouldering the following morning when the business owner arrived and he managed to extinguish it. So we're appealing to anybody who might have relevant information. Please contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. You know, if you've seen this man in question around the streets at that time of the morning, maybe taxi drivers particularly might have been in the area with a dash cam also. And anybody, taxi drivers or anybody with a dash cam, the dash cam is always so invaluable to us as part of any of our investigations. So if you were in that area with a dash cam between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. that morning, please do let us know and make that footage available to us.
Yeah, and a particularly worrying incident on Justice Walsh Road in Letterkenny being investigated.
Yes, this happened daylight hours too, yeah. So Tuesday the 28th of April at around 11:40 a.m. So a lady was sitting in the driver's seat of her car waiting at the traffic lights on the Justice Walsh Road, Letterkenny. Another woman approached her car on the driver's side. This woman in question then opened the driver's door and allegedly assaulted this female driver, and she stole a sum of cash from her also. We're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident. Please contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100. And again, dash cam footage invaluable to us. If anybody has dash cam footage from that area, we're asking them to please let us know.
Yeah, a picture paints a thousand words, so it's not surprising that footage would be so useful. And lastly, RTC Quigley's point in terms of the appeals.
Yeah, Monday the 4th of May, this occurred at approximately 1:45 in the morning. Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a collision had occurred on the R238 at Three Trees, Quigley's Point. A silver Vauxhall Vivaro van had crashed and was causing an obstruction on the road. So nobody was present at this van when the Gardaí arrived, and the registration plates had been removed from it. We're appealing to any motorists who might have travelled along that route between midnight and 1:45 in the morning, Monday morning, with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. And Gardaí in Buncrana can be contacted on 932-0540.
Now, warning over bogus callers. They are in the region and, of course, can be highly mobile. What is the most recent reports?
Yeah, so we do mention bogus callers quite a lot, but it always seems to be when the weather starts to pick up that these types of calls, because, of course, it's always outdoorsy type of work that they're offering. So we did receive reports recently in relation to bogus callers. They were encountered in the Inishowen area over the past week. It was Buncrana and Clonmany. So keep in mind, these callers can show up in any part of Donegal and in various type of vehicles. So the callers in question this week were offering power washing services and painting services, and they were quite forceful in their manner. Bogus callers may offer services such as power washing, painting, tarmacking, etc. They could be offering goods for sale such as tools, generators. They generally prefer to target the more vulnerable and people who live alone. So we're advising people, please do not engage with such callers. Don't open your door to anybody unless you're confident that they're known to you or that they have a genuine reason to be there. Use your chain lock. You know, a chain lock's so inexpensive. Please fit a chain lock if you haven't got one already, especially if you're living on your own. Use it for added security. These callers, as in the cases reported to us this week, can be quite intimidating, and they often do refuse to take no for an answer, particularly if they're aware, I suppose, that you're there on your own, you know, and they arrive in numbers. Contact Gardaí immediately if you encounter such a caller, and try to give us as much detail as you can. You know, take a look out your window to get the registration number, description of what they're wearing and what direction they go in. Did they turn left or right when they left your gate or your laneway? Please be vigilant when you're out and about, and always report suspicious people or vehicles to us immediately. And we'll just ask your listeners also, please advise others who might be vulnerable to have these type of bogus callers call to their home. Advise them about the advice that was given out today and the fact that they were in the area recently, the Inishowen area. Keep your local 24/7 Garda station number. You can access it easily. I know everybody now has their number saved on their mobile phones, but then not especially maybe elderly people, you know, who don't use mobile phones and they're using the landline.
You know what? Get a post-it, put your air code. Because not everyone knows their code. The local 24/7 number, now, Doc, and stick it on your it on your fridge. Or
a lot of people now have the magnet, you know, the magnet that you write on with a marker.
Mm. Where do you stick that?
Yeah, put those in your fridge. They're given out at quite a few. It's age-friendly.
Yeah, I know that. But the problem with that is a lot of people have sort of fridges that are behind a door.
Ah, they do, yeah. Most people now. Well, most people.
Because someone got me a bottle opener. I thought, don't even know why, but I'd know where to stick it. Don't you make any suggestions. But there was nothing, nowhere to stick it.
Yeah, well, probably, as you said, look, the best thing is, and most people, if they're using a landline phone, it's going to be in the hallway near the front door.
But those three, a couple of key numbers, I think they're especially if you sometimes in a bit of a... If those people called to my house, and a crime doesn't have to have actually committed. What Grania is saying, it's really important. If you feel intimidated, you can call the guards. But you can be flustered, and then that information doesn't come to you directly. So even information you think you know. So it's no harm, even a little writing board, anything
just
at all.
And having,
as you say, close to where the phone is or where you normally use your mobile or whatever it might be.
Your local 24/7 Garda station number, and that was an important one too, the air code. Definitely put your air code somewhere near your phone in case you ever need an ambulance or any type of emergency service. And as you said, don't hesitate to call us. A crime doesn't have to have been committed. If they're there, you're talking to them through the letterbox or through, you know, you have the chain lock on the door and you've opened the door slightly.
Yes.
If you're feeling worried or anyway intimidated at all, contact us, let us know. That's vital information for us also, because the guards can make their way to that area immediately and maybe then intercept these people on the road, further down the road. So the 24/7 numbers, people probably are well aware of them at this stage. Letterkenny 9167100, Milford 9153060. Buncrana is 9320540 and Ballyshannon 071-985-8530. And of course, always, if there's an emergency situation, 999 or 112.
Yeah, of course. And some of those divisions are quite broad, so just double check where the number local to you generally is. Sinead, that's it. Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Grania, really do appreciate it. That's Garda Grania Doherty, and we'll be back with Community Garda information after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. If you missed anything or you want to check further details or check numbers or anything like that there, you can listen to it on the podcast again on our website from 11:30, but it'll also be available for you on our social medias and on Garda Síochána social media a little later on as well. Reed Dogs, I was down in Ards yesterday. The bins were full and people were putting it everywhere. I took mine home. See, this is the problem when you have bins. They have to be, and I'm not sure we have the right contracts in place to maintain them. They just become a hotspot then for all types of rubbish. Greg, dog mess is a major problem everywhere, same as people who refuse to put leads on dogs. I was confronted by a large dog at the weekend. The owner was about 30 yards behind it and was unable to see it. I just froze to the spot. When she eventually reached the dog, her response was, "You're okay, the dog won't touch you." Totally irrelevant. I was petrified. I'm not afraid of dogs, only when they're not on leads or unsupervised. And there is a little bit about that too, where people love their dogs, and it's great that they love their dogs, but I don't think they realise that not everybody loves their dogs. And in fact, some people don't even like their dogs, or don't want to be around their dogs, or certainly don't want their dogs around them. And that token reassurance that he won't touch you when the thing's there in your space. But anyway, Greg, driving on the road from Bridgend yesterday early evening, a Navy car with an end plate in front of us proceeded to throw numerous paper-like napkins out the passenger window, followed by two empty plastic bottles. Not a care in the world. So sorry we didn't have dash cam. Donegal car pulled into the shop at Tuban. Shameful. Never understood that. And I am not on any high horse or an ivory tower or a goody two shoes, don't get me wrong, but I never understood this just disposing of stuff out the window without a care in the world and completely careless. Right, now there's a public meeting taking place in relation to the St. Joseph's, being called by the Save St. Joseph's Hospital Action Group. It's today. This evening, in fact, at 7:45 in the Drumbo Suite in Jackson's Hotel. Everybody in the local community is welcome to attend. Right, Bernie Thompson is secretary of the Save St. Joseph's Hospital Action Group and joins him now. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Greg. How are you? Thanks
good.
For having me on.
Oh, it's good to have you on. Right, now, what is the purpose of this meeting? It's a means to an end, isn't it?
It is, yes. Tonight, the meeting is solely for looking to raise a dedicated fundraising sort of task group to help us raise money for a bus for the patients of St. Joseph's Hospital. They had a bus for 15 years, which itself was fundraised by members of the town back at that time, but it's off the road now. So the way we see it, they had a bus for 15 years and they deserve one again.
Right, okay. And this would be for outings, I presume, evenings away or days away or afternoons away. That would have been its historic use, I presume.
Yes, it would. A dedicated bus means that they're able to plan trips more easily. They can have spontaneous outings. They have daily routines. You know, some patients like to attend mass. So it just means that they have the freedom to go when it suits the patients, not when it can be arranged. So it just removes that sort of level of complexity that comes with not having your own transport. So it's like the difference essentially from having your own car or your car being in the garage and then dependent on someone else to give you a lift somewhere.
Mm. Now, obviously, there are going to be people with various mobility capabilities. So presumably, whatever new bus is acquired or new to St. Joseph's bus is acquired would have to have, you know, good accessibility and tick all those boxes, I presume. So that is obviously going to potentially drive the cost up a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And when it comes to purchasing the actual bus, the exact specifications required will all be driven by the hospital themselves, because they're best placed to know what it best suits their needs. So we'll be looking for a wheelchair accessible bus. So if we end up getting maybe a 12 seater or a 16 seater bus, once you put in the facility for a wheelchair, it reduces it down then to either a 12 or an 8 seater bus. But everything will be driven by the needs of the hospital itself.
I mean, this is and others have fought so hard to have this type of facility as best resource as possible in your own local area, which means that it is a facility for the entire community. It could be ourselves, our kids, our aunts, uncles, granny and granddad. So there's an awful lot of vested interest in this, I think, and there'll be an awful lot of generosity. It's just a case, Bernie, of getting that organised and getting it to, you know, I'm sure there are huge businesses in that area that would love to come on board with a project like this, because this is such a critical part of the community infrastructure. So hopefully there's a good turnout and the right people turnout and you can get this on the road.
Yes, absolutely. At the end of the day, it's our community hospital, it's our patients. For the community stepping in will be like a really positive thing. It's us saying we value our hospital, we value our patients, and we want to play our part in that. And it's us using our collective voice. And the group has been around for 10 years, and we've evolved now more into being a partner of the hospital and a friend of the hospital. So it's us using that and stepping up and providing for our community hospital and our patients as best we can, because it is ours and it's a vital part of the community. And there's hardly anybody that doesn't have a story or a relation or a touch point or something. So it's an absolutely brilliant cause for anyone to get involved with.
Here. Right, 7:45 this evening in the Drumbo Suite, Jackson's Hotel. Just one item on the agenda, I believe, isn't it? And that is how do you get this bus sorted?
Yes, it's just one focused, we just want to form a dedicated fundraising task group. We want vibrant, energetic people. The sole goal will be everything around the task of raising our ambitious goal and amount for funding the bus.
All right, listen, I hope it's a lovely turnout, Bernie, because it's nice, isn't it, to be speaking about something. I mean, there are people listening that might say, well, the community shouldn't have to do this, but unfortunately that's just the way it is. But isn't it nice to be speaking about something that will add a layer on of a positive experience for people in and using St. Joseph's? It's a nice 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have predicted we'd be having this type of conversation. So it's good. I think it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So what we're as a community, we can make this happen. So we're just asking of everybody, if you're available, if you can come to the meeting tonight, if you can bring someone with you, and even just showing up sends a powerful message. And it is a fantastic cause for everybody to rally around and get together. And especially in the current times, it's wonderful to have a good cause like this to commit ourselves to. And then if we see the fruits of our ambition, it will be even better.
Yeah, opportunity to be part of something lovely. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Bernie Thompson, meeting tonight, 7:45, Drumbo Suite, Jackson's Hotel, Bala Buffet. Eva Doherty Gremmert, who's living in the United States, but very strong Carn Donna roots. Good morning to you, Eva.
Good morning.
How are you keeping?
I'm doing well. We're having lovely weather here, so it's a great time to be in Inishowen.
What time? Oh, you're here in Inishowen?
I am, yeah.
Well, that's not half as exciting. I thought you were living and currently in the United States. I'm only joking. It's great to have you with us. Right. Now, the Doherty Clan Association gathering is taking place from the 12th to the 15th of August in McGrory's Hotel in Coldaff. And you're looking really to get as many people involved as possible.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we have people that come from other countries coming back, I guess the diaspora you call them. But we also really enjoy having locals come to the events and make it a gathering of the clan.
You're from Washington. Your grandparents came from Inishowen. Do you always, yes. You're a lifelong connection to Inishowen, or is it something you reconnected with later in life, or what's the situation?
Well, the first time I came to Ireland was with my father and some other family members for the 1985 O'Doherty clan gathering, the first one that was held. So I fell in love with being here, felt like it was home, and started coming with my husband and children the next year.
Yeah, and that was about 5 years after the Worldwide Doherty Association was first established.
Yes, yes. Patty Bogside from Derry went out to Michigan and collaborated with another Pat Doherty, who had organized events in the United States, and the two of them and a few other people have decided to host some worldwide gatherings here in Inishowen and Derry.
Is there still as much of an interest in our heritage and history, do you think, Eva, or sort of as the world has progressed, are we becoming more siloed, more isolated and sort of less inclined to want to engage with other people, even if they have our same heritage?
Well, I don't know. I believe that there's been actually an increase in interest in heritage and what your roots are, even for those that live here in the area in Donegal. I'm always marveling at the local heritage groups and what they put on in exhibitions and in talks and bus tours and walking tours. There just seems to be a lot more interest than there has been over the last 45 years.
And this isn't just an annual or here and there event. There's stuff going on all the time, regular newsletters, Zoom meetups, all manner of things.
Yeah, we have a monthly Zoom meeting that we do. Anyone's welcome to join us in that. It's the second Saturday, Irish time. It's 8 p.m. so that we can coordinate with other people across the globe as well. And we also have a newsletter that comes out every other month with all sorts of things of interest in it, including recipes and family stories and traditions. And so there's quite a team that is working on the Clan Association.
All right. And I suppose just use the last minute or so, what message do you want to get out there ahead of this this big gathering in August?
Well, join us by reaching out on Facebook or our YouTube channel. You have to do the old spelling, O-D-O-C-H-A-R-T-A-I-G-H. The reason we do that is there's over 140 spellings of the surname, so we picked the old one.
Yeah.
So use that and you can find us.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, and as you say, you know, I mean, ancestry websites and services are bigger than they ever were now. So there is a huge appetite for this type of thing. And it's also nice to be part of something as well, isn't it, Eva? And connected to something. And that's what you can offer for the Doherty clan.
Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some people that because of the lack of records, they might not exactly know where their people came from. But as they come here and gather with us, they do feel like a part of the whole heritage of the Doherty clan. And that's what we're trying to do, is help people feel of this magnificent heritage.
Yeah, and there'll be people from quite literally all over the world at this event in Coldaff. So it would be crazy if you are in this region or even in this country and you did not attend. What an opportunity. Eva, thank you so very much indeed. Have a lovely day. Enjoy the weather.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. That's Eva Doherty Gremmert there, who lives in America. With strong Carndonagh roots in his home in Carndonagh at the moment. That is where we have to leave it on the show today. Any of the comments that we didn't get to, we will carry over into the show tomorrow. Don't you worry about that. Your voices are heard. They've all been read. It's just literally getting the time to get them out on air. So that's it. Fantastic. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody.